left God's intention, and they missed it in ways that in ways of the heart. They missed it in ways of the heart. They missed it in being, look at the situation when Jesus came, dealing with the Pharisees. He said, you tithe mint and this and that, and you do all of these things, but you leave off the most important things. That's what he said. And, that would hurt if you were trying to serve Jesus, and then Jesus says, hey, you're doing all these penny-ante things, but there are important things that are important in my heart. And you see that. I mean, you see that over and over. You see that, again, you see that in the captivity. You see that when Jesus came, you see that basically because the reason for the Day of Atonement coming about. You see that in the book of Revelation where Jesus is speaking to the seven churches, and he says to the church at Ephesus, you've left your first love, and the first commandment, the first meaning, the first thing out of his mouth is that kind of relationship. We always think it's do everything right, and we focus so much on trying to avoid what's wrong. We're trying to avoid instead of find. Avoiding. I don't want to mess up. You're already messed up. I mean, unless Christ has formed them, you're already messed up. So, jump on the messed up wagon and let's go find Jesus. Lord, we're here. It's the bundle of mess ups. But didn't he say he doesn't reject that? He will in no wise cast you out. And so the when he walked the earth, it was the outcast and the people that we would think the worst of that got closest to Jesus. It was them because. And Jesus never chased them off. Never. He never chased them off. Why? Well, because they were really good bad people. No, that's ridiculous. Because they had somehow latched on to the real deal. They were after Jesus. They were following Jesus. I want you. I want you. I want you. You're what I'm after. And so it's like, if we follow Jesus, we might have to go into the temple and the Pharisees are there and they're going to hate us and they're going to say bad things about us, They're going to say, and they're going to, but I think the deal was let's just be with Jesus. And if you go through that, you go through that. You're going to go through junk anyway. Life has junk. Better that it be because you're after the Lord. Than, than because your life is just wrapped up in dealing with a bad harvest. The only way to reverse a bad harvest is to start sowing the seed of Christ. It's the only way. All right, so we're talking about in the captivity. We're talking about the people of God, and yet they were sent into captivity because they missed His purpose. Now we saw this in chapter 1. We read last class, beginning with verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. They became fools to God. One of the things that we really need to learn is God's definitions are the only definitions that count. He's Lord, He's life, He's everything, and He knows, and we tend to take His words and apply it to our understanding of what that means, which means we start changing, verse 23, changing the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man. In other words, we start making God in our own image instead of us being made in his image. So we hear something and we go, okay, so I have to fit that into my way of thinking. My way of thinking, you know, one reason why I came to Jesus is because my way of thinking didn't work. You know, I mean, I remember as a newborn Christian, and, you know, some people don't like me telling this story, but I was a newborn Christian and was going to Berean, and somebody said, man, you shouldn't be going to that place. They'll brainwash you. And I said, man, my mind is so messed up, I need my brains washed, you know. They're going, you know, they could tell I didn't mean, you know, I'm open to being, you know. But rather, I need Jesus and I'm going after him regardless of the place or what the situation is. I don't even know, you know, I don't know. I'm just following my heart, and thank God, because it worked out, you know, and it still works out. But then after they change the glory and they change the image of the invisible God being made like an incorruptible man, and they had already been confronted with the glory. I mean, confronted is not the right word. Introduced in a most magnanimous way by God to us, they changed it. So, wherefore, okay, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, dishonoring their own bodies between themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Now flip over to verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, do you see that? This is not someone pursuing God. This is not someone who is focused and fixed, and I want to know the Lord, and I'm after the Lord, and that's my number one goal. This is people who, even as they did not like, this is something they didn't like. They had it. They said what it says is that they didn't like to retain it. It wasn't that they never had it. They didn't like what they were getting. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not seemly. Okay, so here you have captivity then. But this is only outward captivity. When God gives you over, or gives them over, gives Judah over, or whoever, it doesn't matter. When he does that because it was already the case. They already were in captivity and chose it in themselves. They chose something that is not Jesus. And so the Lord doesn't go, okay, remember we talked about this last class. Okay, I'll punish you. No. He turns them over to what they pursued. He turns them over. Now you can, okay, so we go, well, praise God, I don't do that. I'm still in the way. Somebody once said that to me. Well, I hadn't seen them in a while. They did. They came up to me and they knew I was going to wonder if they're still following the Lord. And they said, I'm still in the way. And I said, you need to get out of the way and let Jesus. But you know, yeah, they did. A lot of people set stuff up for me. But it's this thing, I'm still, a Christian and all this kind of stuff, and assume that this guy over here in the crack house and, or in the with the prostitutes, he's what this is talking about. This is talking about the people of God, and I got news for you. The Pharisees actually ended up fulfilling this too by becoming everything that Jesus didn't want. They became so, I'm going to say it funny, they became so far God that they couldn't see Jesus. And Jesus is the express image of God. And Christ crucified is the glory of God. Okay, so there, it's important, one of the things I'm trying to do is not just teach Romans or teach lessons. I'm trying to impart seeds, and I'm trying to give templates so that, you don't have to know everything. You know, it's not like, well, I'm going to teach this one lesson, and I'm going to teach 100 more, and I hope you get it all figured out. But rather to give templates and seeds so that God can, give the increase. And so that those templates can be used in a million different ways after Romans is over and not just some class. And, well, I don't remember what I got in the class. Well, one of those templates, or one part of the early part of the template, is to realize the difference between inward captivity and outward captivity. Inward captivity leads to outward captivity. Okay? You say, well, I'm safe because I'm still going to church. I mean, I've heard it all. Well, I have. I've heard it all. I'm safe because I'm still going to church or whatever. Man, you're still missing what it is of his heart. And, as long as you continue to do that, you're going to personally, inwardly go into deeper captivity until there comes a point when all of a sudden God turns you over to it. And that can be everything from, now your friends are at a bar and you get drunk with them and they literally pull out a knife and rob you and, steal your car and da-da-da-da, to everything else, too. Being a Pharisee in the house of God, or more importantly, a Pharisee in the temple of God, shouldn't be in there, or should be conformed to his image. When I say shouldn't be in there, I'm not saying they're not saved. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that it's an issue of salvation. To God, it's an issue of Christ. And at the moment, you're not knowing him, because nobody knows him. We're knowing him, amen? I mean, I sure don't know him. I'm knowing him. But that certain point where it's no longer, I mean, God has foreknowledge too, but he knows that's it. They're going to go this way. But look at what happened to some of them in captivity, in the captivity of Judah. Look what happened. Some of them really, really, really found the Lord. And all of the things that were precious in the temple now become precious in their heart, and it gives them reason to return. Real reason, God reasons, God definitions, God plans. All of a sudden, again, life is springing forth within them. And let me just say this too. Don't think that can only happen in the church house. Prodigal son's a good example. If you see it in just the light of somebody failing or whatever, is a good example that there he came to himself. And it's interesting, it says he came to himself, but he really came to himself and said, in my Father's house. Oh, beautiful, beautiful. So beautiful. It steps out of us. It steps out of our failures. It steps out of our misery. It steps out of all that we come short of. And it starts focusing back on the right direction. The glory of God. Not, you know. You can sit in a hog pen and still marvel and wonder and enjoy the reality of God's glory. But the good thing about it is it'll eventually bring you out of the hog pen. It will. It does. If it's real. If it's real, it moves you. And where does it move you? Well, always and forever towards Christ crucified. And it's going to do that because that's the life that is Jesus, not just what he did. And that's the life he's going to impart to us. And instead of taking the things of God like the prodigal did in the initial stages, oh, this is from God. This is from my Father. God gave me this. I'm going to take this and I'm going to go out on my own and I'm going to live for God and I'm going to really, you know, and he got out there. And it went from bad to worse to worse to worse to worse. Because it's in my Father's house where the lifeblood flows. There has to be a connection. It can't be a mental connection. It can't be a doctrinal connection. It can't be truths. It can't be deep truths. It can't be wonderful truths. It can't be things that tickle your ears. It can't be stuff that makes you feel spiritual. It can't be all of the things that are not Christ, but are what puffs us up about the teaching of Christ. Now, I know, I'll just tell you straight up, God's still changing me. He is still in the process of transforming me and also renewing my mind so that I, you know, frankly, I mean, just if nothing else, so that I could say things a little better, not so that you would get it, not clarity of words, because you're not going to get it because of clarity of words. Do you know that? I hope you do. You're not. All of the and everything to get clarity of words, thinking that's going to do it, is not going to do it. Paul said, you know, when I came to you, my speech was this and that and whatever. Not in the wisdom of words. It's going to come when what you have joined as the way becomes Christ. And you walk in that, and then you continue to walk until the truths become the truth. And then you're going to continue to walk in that until Christ is the life and the way and the truth. And it is no longer about you. See, we kind of know that it's no longer about us on one front. Because we're seeing the Lord and realizing how much he is to the Father. He's, you know, he's the length and the breadth and the height and the depth and the first and the last. We see, you know, Jesus is my Savior. That's us. We're down here. Jesus saved me. Woo-hoo. You know, the Father's going, he's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. We have to get past, though, just knowing that, but to make our heart to know that this one that is all will be in me, all will be in me, all. Now, of course, that doesn't change the fact that God gave you a personality and you're supposed to have a personality and God likes your personality and I like some of your personalities. And you know. Yeah, you're still, you know, it's Christ in you, but it's Christ in you. It's not you trying to live for Christ and failing constantly. That's not the path. That's not the way. It's not the truth. I'm sorry. It's not the life. And that's how you come unto the Father. Not through trying to shape up, or, you know, I'm going to improve, or I'm going to be better. Before this is over with, No, Christ is going to be formed. And Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Nobody's going to come to the Father except by me as the way, me as the truth, me as the life. Not you understanding, that guy way up there, way far away, you know, in heaven on the throne. He's the life. And he gives us the truth, man. Sorry, no coming to the Father, but by him who is the way, who is the truth. That's it. You can say it. That's the only way, because he's the way. And the truth, we've got a million truths, but Jesus is the fulfillment of all of those truths. Some apparent truths are falsehoods. So Jesus is not the fulfillment of that. Let me make that clear. But he will get you to the Father. Just like the Holy Spirit will get you to the Son. Just like Paul will get you to the Son. Just like the Word of God will get you there. But it's got to be outside of you. It's got to be. There has to come a dawning like the prodigal son. There has to come a dawning. He didn't sit in the hog pen and go, well, you know, I'm in the Father's house and yeah, everything's pretty cool there, but, you know, I'm still a son. You know, he could say that. I've heard people say that. In the hog pen. I have heard it many times, actually. In the hog pen. Well, I'm still a son. Yeah, but where's the son? Where's the son of the Father's heart? But the prodigal son didn't say, I'm still a son. That's not in the Bible. Thank God. No, a dawning happened. You know what a dawning is? It's the light all of a sudden starts coming into your darkness. And he must do this to each and every one of us. Each and every one of us has to have this point where all of a sudden we realize from the point we left the Father's house with all of the things that were of God but not God, that we took with us and thought we were going to do something good, you know, whatever. I mean, probably good ideas. I mean, I don't think the prodigal son went out and said, hey, you know, I'm going to leave Dad and I just like to, you know, shoot heroin for a while and stuff like that. Is that cool? I just want to spread my wings. Did you get all that, Patty? Okay. Not at all. Not at all. I think that he had good intentions, but it just started going downhill and downhill and downhill, and then he spent all. See, the deal is he spent all, and the truth, I mean, I wrote a song about a prodigal son, and I say what, but it really doesn't, you know, it just says riotous living. But folks, anything that's not with Christ is going to be, you know, we always think it's the worst stuff. Yeah. And it's just, out of his order. Therefore, it's riotous. It's out of, and when I say his order, I don't mean this is the order I want you to adhere to. I mean the order of his being. You're his body. You're his hands. You're his feet. Should one of his hands be going, well, I'm going to leave for a little while, and, you know, I would think, you know, Jesus, I'm sure, and I'm going to go over here and do some stuff, you know, and, you know, and it's doing stuff, and Jesus going, hey, cut that out, you know, or whatever, you know. No, he's sitting there in that hog pen, and dawning happens. He's retraced his steps. He remembers what was in his heart. He's found out where he is. This is my best. Man at his best is altogether vanity. Okay? Our righteousness, not our sin, our righteousness, our best, our being right is not enough, because God's not wanting rightness. He's wanting Christ, who is righteous. And he has made unto us righteousness. Didn't say he gives us that. You know. Yeah, he who knew no sin was made to be sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God only in him. As bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, as that which embraces that precious being called Jesus. Did you hear my wording? It's not just precious Jesus, it's that precious being that is Jesus. And so thus the prodigal, he sees the corruptibleness, just like Peter. He sees how he took even the very best things that the Father gave and he corrupted them. And now he's ended up messing everything up. And he lifts up his eyes and he goes, you know what? This is big. And what he's fixing to do, he's not even bringing himself into the picture. He's bringing himself into the Father's picture. Does that make sense? He's going, in my Father's house, and so I am going there to be identified there, to find oneness there, to find what I am there. Dawning. He gets up, starts heading off. But the dawning hadn't changed his mind. He hadn't been renewed in the spirit of his mind yet. So as he goes, he starts figuring on what he's going to say or do. Why? Why does he do that? Why is he doing that? He's doing that because he wants so much to fit into the Father's house. But now he's starting to reconsider himself. Now he's looking at himself. Well, I need to say to the Father, I'm no more worthy, and I'm this, or I'm not this. I am this, and I'm not this. The Father already knows you're in Christ. He just wants to bring you into the reality of it, in truth. Yeah. I mean, that's it. So in his heart, he's already looking for the Son. And you know, let me just ask you a question. The Father looking for the Son, he sees this guy coming. What do you think the prodigal looked like after spending all that time, losing everything, not having any money, anything left, and working in a hog pen? What do you think he looked and smelled like? That was right. Caitlin had it. Turn around to the camera and show everybody that face. She went, something like that. You better believe, I don't know if you ever worked with hogs. I had to when I was a prodigal. My Lord, they can stink to high heaven. And you know, coming back from working with, and people say, oh, hogs are they're the cleanest animal. Have you ever seen a waller? It is not what you go, well, they are clean. Look, they made their bed. You know, I mean, it's just a mess. And, you know, the main thing is they don't poop where they eat. Well, that's a clean animal. Okay, that's fine, but it's still. Yeah, and they are susceptible to being demon possessed. Some of you know the Bible. So he comes back. The father doesn't go, oh my God, you know, take back the robe, the white linen robe, and get a hose, and we're going to hose this kid down first, you know. He needs to look and smell appropriate. He didn't. The father didn't say that, didn't consider that, ran and kissed him first before he ever opened his mouth. I mean, the kid could have come and said, Dad, I need, you know, you got like, I need like $500. Can you like spare me that? Can you just like give me that, Father? You know? He didn't do that. Father didn't know for sure what he was going to do. The father just knew, that's my son that has the son. Now, he doesn't know that he's mentally renewed to that yet. He didn't know, when I say mentally, renewed in the spirit of your mind, not just information. Renewed, the scriptures say in Ephesians, renewed in the spirit of your mind. Whole spiritual change of your mind. Matching now who you are in Christ. Matching now who the Son is in you. Matching, truthfully measuring up to the Word for the first time, not by us trying to measure up to the words, but the fulfillment of Him who is the Word. That's all the Father wants. In the beginning was the Word. It was with God, was God. Father knows that Word. Father's not going, hey, let me check the book, you know. I mean, he's not, you know. I know we go here, but he wasn't. And so if the son, prodigal son, was filthy and smelled filthy, he got the best robe and he put it over him. Because the father knows his son. Even when we don't know it's the Son in us, we go, well, look how the Father's treating me. I must be special. I told somebody the other day, yeah, you're special. He'll bring you in and you'll be special until one day you're dead. And then Christ will come forth in the glory of, in his glory through your vessel. And it will no longer be about being special or not. It's just being with Him. Being in union with that. Father sees it that way. Father shoves a ring on his finger. Father kisses him with everything he's got. And the son is, you know, the son is thinking, I need to repent. I need to say all this stuff. I'm not worthy. Everything the Father's doing is going against his mental state. I'm not worthy. And he's going, you know, he's shoving a ring on and putting a robe over his stinky garments and all this stuff, putting on shoes on his feet and bringing him in. Hey, let's go kill the fatted calf. Let's rejoice. You were dead. He's talking to Christ. You were dead, but now you're alive. And he's saying to his son, see this reality and make it your life. Quit trying to get an identity apart from Christ crucified. See the truth of the one that you're supposed to be conformed to. And bring joy to the Father's heart. Amen? Bring joy by giving Him Christ. Hallelujah. Every sacrifice was meant to be a picture of Christ. All of it. This is the way we worship, you know. Daddy, how do we worship here in Israel? We offer up lambs. and it's beautiful to God. God chose this way. Man didn't think of it. Who would think of such a thing? You know? But God the Father, the Father of spirits, the Father of lights, the Father of the Son, coming to him by Christ. You know, we say, well, I want to make God happy, so I'm going to lift my hands during this worship service when I don't feel like it. That's fine. I think that's a good idea, but don't call that the height of glorifying the Father. Give him his Son and give him his Son on an altar. In other words, let the Son be the way the Son is. In you. Let him do that in you. And then the Father will be pleased. And the Father gathers up everybody and he makes a big feast. And you know that it's just incredible feasting. Not just the frivolity or the joy or the music or the tables, how they're set and the food and all of that, but the incredible joy between the Father and this Son who is going, he sees Jesus in me. He loves Jesus in me. He is drawn to that life. And so the elder son, standing outside, you can't get it from outside. You'll misread everything. You'll misread it. If you're standing outside, you're going to misread it. The elder son calls one of the servants. What's going on in there? Well, your younger brother, he's back. The father's throwing him a party. What? What? And he goes, and he won't come in. He won't come in. Come into what? The party? No. He is outside. He's in captivity. And now he's going into more captivity. Now he's on the outside. So what does the father do? He comes out. Just like he did for his other son, he comes out and he's, you know, basically says, you know, come in, you know. And the elder son says, with the worst attitude you could possibly, this your son that did all of this stuff and was all of this stuff and, you know, has horribly hurt you and everything, you have killed the fatted calf for him and are throwing a party. It's not a party to the Father, it's a rejoicing. But you've never let me throw a party. It's different with my friends. He didn't say with you, Father. You've never let me feast with you, Father. You've never let me throw a party with my friends. That's not what's going on here. This is not a party. This is not a party with my friends or his friends. This is the most eternal, glorious feast of all time, and we're fellowshipping in this together. That son, that bad son, that da 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 da. He's come into something that has changed him and is changing him. And maybe for the first time, something glorious is taking place. And all you can see is how you're hurt because something didn't go your way. Story basically ends there. Captivity. Outside. Outside of Jerusalem. Outside of the Father's house. Outside, we're not talking salvation again. We're talking outside of God's original intention, the intention of his heart, the intention of why he created everything, why he created the earth, why he put man on this earth. I love Isaiah's little phrase in Isaiah. He says, God created the earth to be inhabited. And I knew it wasn't talking about the Creator. It was talking about the greatest, deepest desire of the Father to inhabit us. We're the earth. And for him to inhabit us, the eternal plan, not just, yeah, God's a pretty good creator. He created earth so we could live on it. Wow, is that the scope of your... You know, I mean, but how is anyone going to know? How is the elder son going to know unless he goes in? Now, it may not be right for the younger son to sit in there and go, hey, stupid, you're missing it all. But it also isn't right for the elder son not to go in and pursue the Lord. Not right. If that's not right, this isn't right either. Do you hear me? I'm going to say it again. If that's not right, this isn't right either. Younger son, change your attitude. Elder son, change your being. Get after the Lord. Plead, cry out, run. You know, with all of your heart towards the Lord. Don't make excuses. And don't whine because you see things wrong and then say, God's not fair to me. Let's pray. Father, just continue to move by your Spirit on the things that your people need. I don't know what they all are. I am just a vessel and just one of your sons that desires to be conformed to the image of Christ. May the Spirit breathe and draw us more and more into not just Jesus, but Christ crucified, not just Christ crucified, but the heart that makes him God. The heart that makes him God and us just human. May we see his face. And may we be changed from glory to glory. Thank God by the Spirit of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're dismissed. Sorry I went a little bit over. Especially people with kiddos. Sorry.